الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على المبعوث رحمة للعالمين، وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين، وبعد. فقد قال جل وعلا في كتابه المجيد وفرقانه الحميد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وإن أردتم استبدال زوج مكان زوج وآتيتم إحداهن قنطارا فلا تأخذوا منه شيئا، أتأخذونه بهتانا وإثما مبينا. وقال عليه الصلاة والسلام: من لم يشكر الناس لم يشكر الله، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. Honorable scholars, respected brothers and elders, amongst the many misconceptions that exist, one is the misconception regarding marriage. Today I get married, I'll be happy. Today I get married, I will abandon flirting women and I will abandon the evil practice of fornication and immorality. Now both these are the deceptions and the delusions of the devil. On the reverse, categorically, we know of many people who are more promiscuous after marriage than they were prior to marriage. And with regards to happiness in the marriage, really it's naive, if not foolish on our part, to expect a healthy relation without constructively contributing to the relation. Until and unless we will not discipline ourselves with regards to immorality, infidelity, disloyalty, marriage per se will make no difference to your life. Just like a person guilty of theft, he will steal even the day he's got enough. I don't buy into the theory that he's stealing because he's hungry. If he's not hungry, he will not steal. Those are the slogans that are chanted. Yes, we might agree this much, that a hungry person is more vulnerable to theft. But to say he is stealing because he's hungry and the day he's not hungry, he will not steal, I'm afraid I beg to differ. In the same way with regards to the happiness in marriage, we have to constructively contribute to the relation. Reflect for a minute. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam comes out of his house to speak about the auspiciousness of the night of Qadr, the night of power. And in the interim, two people are arguing. He says the ill effect of this argument is that the specific night of Qadr, while we know we've got to look for it in the odd days of the last 10 days of Ramadan, but as a result of this argument, the specific knowledge has been lifted away from me and hence from the whole ummah. Now one argument left an entire ummah deprived of the specific time. Can you imagine what would be the condition, the plight, the situation of those children where arguments by the parents is the order of the day in the house? How deprived won't be that generation? How disturbed won't be that individual? Then you come out and say ADD, attention deficit disorder, but it's starting at home. Because of all these type of clashes, these are the type of problems that are happening at home, it is definitely disturbing. The object of nikah, what is expected? What is hoped out of marriage? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam looked at Jabir radiallahu anhu, who had a trace of yellowness on his clothes. Now this was symbolic to marriage in those days, like you'll see a car maybe with balloons on it. So you'll ask the man, what's happening? So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam looked at this yellowness. He said, "Tazawwajta ya Jabir. Jabir, have I got it all right? You're married." He said, "Yes." Again, look at the teaching. The Prophet, "Oh, Jabir. Oh, okay. So you don't let us know." No, that wasn't the words of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. "Bikran am sayyiban." Jabir, what type of woman you got married to? Not who you got married to. Unfortunately, I've heard comments. Who you got married to? Oh, you got married to Aisha. We were school friends. Give her my salams. I give my wife your salams. What a sick society are we living in? I convey your salams to my wife. Bikran am thayyiban. Jabir, you got married to a young girl or someone that was previously married. So he said, thayyiban. I got married to a woman that was previously married. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Jabir, man, you didn't want to go for someone compatible to your age. Allah speaks about the damsels of paradise. وَعِنْدَهُمْ قَاصِرَاتُ الطَّرْفِ أَتْرَابِ Allah says two qualities. Their gaze will be modest and they will be equal to your age, making it so much more compatible, so much more compatible. And under the commentary of this ayat, قَاصِرَاتُ الطَّرْفِعِينَ Allah says their gazes will be low and they will be striking in their appearance. I just came across a beautiful quotation of Ibn Jawzi rahimahumullah. Generally, the scholars interpret the lowering of the gaze as a gesture of modesty by them. But he says they will be so beautiful that not only their gazes will be low, they'll keep their husband's gazes also low. I read a book that speaks about the surveys of marriage. It caught my eye. The heading is Mother-in-Law and Daughter-in-Law Tension. I'm not a reader, but immediately it caught my attention. I said, let me bring this book and see what it...